And the opinions and views expressed on Gaza Corner are those that are mine and not necessarily of KALW. And I'd like to thank all of you who contributed during KALW's recently completed year-end four-day membership campaign. Many of the listener comments during Tangents last Saturday night expressed appreciation for Gaza Corner, and I really am, I just am really grateful. So thanks for that support. Gaza Corner has been on the air since 2010. And earlier tonight, I sent a very detailed Gaza Corner newsletter, and I'm going to cover some of it, because if I covered all of it, we'd be here past midnight. And if you would like to be on the Gaza Corner newsletter list, just email tangentsradio@gmail.com, tangentsradio@gmail.com, and request to be on the Gaza Corner newsletter list. And these are the darkest times in Palestine. It's another Nakba. The first one before the creation of Israel in 1947 lasted into 49, and the Palestinian indigenous homeland was basically repopulated by Zionists. And 750,000 Palestinians were driven out. Some 13,000 were killed. And that is the Nakba, or catastrophe. This is a second one that's happening. For the first time in modern history, Christmas is not being celebrated in the Holy Land for obvious reasons. And Democracy Now! On Friday, had a very, very good, I mean, it's always very good, Democracy Now!, but this was a segment where a pastor was interviewed, a pastor based in Bethlehem, and he really detailed how churches in Gaza have been attacked, people hiding inside the churches, Christians killed. And then he talked about the possible, essentially the possible extermination of Christian presence in Gaza. And his name is Reverend Munther Isaac. And as I say, he's a Palestinian pastor in Bethlehem. So courtesy of Democracy Now!, here is a comment that he made during the show.
I fear that this is the end of the Christian presence in Gaza. And you know, the Christian presence in Gaza is a 2,000 years old presence. I mean, these are not new converts. Christianity came to Gaza already in the first century. And throughout the last 20 centuries, there was a living Christian work there, and actually an affluent Christian community in Gaza. And I think this community is going to be extinct because of Israel war on Gaza. 3% of the Christian community in Gaza was murdered in these 75 days, 3%.
3%. Three out of every 100 Christians, which is staggering. As I wrote in the Gaza Corner newsletter, if Gil Scott-Heron was alive today, he might be inspired to write a song, "The Genocide Will Be Televised." I use the word genocide. It's not a consensus necessarily that it's a genocide yet. Usually, it's an academic judgment that is ruled on after whatever horrific killing has been done is over. But in this case, many scholars are calling it a genocide. Now, for it to be a genocide, and this is from the Convention on Genocide in 1948, it defines it as the intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. And the intention has to be to destroy the group, not just killing of individuals, but members of a particular group. But the thing that is really hard to prove is intentionality. It can't just be a byproduct of war, but it has to be proven to be intentional. But in the case of Israel, there are so many examples of the ultra-nationalist Jewish supremacists in the government saying exactly what they intend to have happen in Gaza, and it's been happening. So in this case, you have, I mean, there's an article that there are many linked at the Tangents playlist. Just scroll down to the Gaza Corner section. And there's one article that says how genocidal rhetoric became normalized in Israel by Jessica Buxbaum, subtitled Incendiary Language of Extermination, Ethnic Cleansing, and the Wholesale Destruction of Gaza, including with nuclear weapons, has become part of mainstream discourse in Israel during the war. Here are some examples. Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant: "We are fighting human animals, and we are acting accordingly. We will eliminate everything." What's common in all of these things is the dehumanization of all Palestinians. Benjamin Netanyahu said, quote, "You must remember what Amalek has done to you," says our Holy Bible. We do remember. That was Netanyahu evoking a biblical analogy, really a genocidal call to wipe out the Amaleks, including their animals, and analogizing that to wiping out everyone in Gaza. Major General Qassam Alian, who heads Israel's coordination of government activities in the Palestinian territories, quote, "There will be no electricity and no water in Gaza. There will only be destruction." Moshe Feiglin, the founder of Israel's Zehut Party and former Likud representative in Israel's government, quote, "There is one and only one solution, which is to completely destroy Gaza before invading it. I mean destruction like what happened in Dresden and Hiroshima, without nuclear weapons," he says. "Gaza should be razed, and Israel's rule should be restored to the place. This is our country," which is also saying there's a possible end game of resettling Gaza for Israelis. Nassim Vaturi, the deputy speaker for Israel's parliament, said, "Nakba? Expel them all. If the Egyptians care so much for them, they are welcome to have them wrapped in cellophane tied with a green ribbon." Another member of the Knesset in Israel, Ariel Kalner, said, quote, "Nakba to the enemy now, right now, one goal, Nakba, a Nakba that will overshadow the Nakba of 1948, a Nakba in Gaza and a Nakba for anyone who dares to join." Amichai Eliyahu, Israeli heritage minister, said in a radio interview that dropping a bomb, an atomic bomb on Gaza, was a possible tactic. That was a bridge too far for Netanyahu, so he removed him from his post. dehumanization is nothing new. Throughout history, it's been done. Maybe not quite to the chorus that we're hearing it now. In 1969, former Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir said, quote, "There was no such thing as Palestinians." That's been echoed this year, this past March. Ultra-nationalist, Jewish supremacist Bezalel Smotrich, who is in charge of all administrations in the West Bank, including the steroidal acceleration of building settlements, and also he's the finance minister, repeated that same claim, saying there's no such thing as the Palestinian people. For territorial expansion to happen, the natives of the land must be dehumanized completely or their very existence denied. And finally, of many, many examples, Eli Cohen, the minister for foreign affairs, said, quote, "Hamas are the new Nazis. It's easier for the Israeli population to turn a blind eye to the mass slaughter in Gaza if they believe Israel is fighting Nazis." One Nazi parallel does ring true, and that is that whole extended families have been exterminated. I remember growing up, and I was a normal, going to Hebrew school, Reform Jew, growing up on Long Island. And I heard about many Holocaust survivors who lost their entire family, and also whole families being erased. And this is happening right now in Gaza. There's a linked article from the New York Times, December 17th. The title is, "More than 100 members of this Gaza clan have been killed in war." Subtitled, "Family trees have been dismembered and whole branches obliterated since the war between Israel and Hamas broke out on October 7th. The genocide appears intended to not allow Palestinians to remain in Gaza once the carnage ends. Already the north is a rubble wasteland, and the south is doing much of the same. Another article that's linked, it's a New York Times investigation, found Israel has used one of its most destructive, largest bombs over 200 times in southern Gaza, areas it designated as safe for civilians fleeing from the north. There is talk that Israel's endgame includes taking over northern Gaza and eventually repopulating it with Israeli settlements. On November 19th, Israel's intelligence minister, Gila Gamliel, wrote a Jerusalem Post op-ed that's also linked, calling for, quote, "the voluntary resettlement of Palestinians in Gaza for humanitarian reasons, outside of the strip. Many believe, under the guise of, quote-unquote, humanitarian concerns, Israel will pursue a plan to ethnically cleanse Gazans into a tent city of refugees in the Sinai Desert. And according to a recent Israeli Channel 12 poll, 44% of Israelis support reestablishing Jewish settlements in Gaza. There are a couple of other articles that are linked that delve into this more. One of them is written in Jewish Currents by Jonathan Shamir, "Israel's quote-unquote humanitarian expulsion." Subtitled, "The Israeli Right is capitalizing on the aftermath of October 7th to build support for a permanent transfer of Palestinians out of Gaza." And there is an excellent article by Yuval Abraham of 972 Mag, which is a news outlet about Israel and Palestine. There's no paywall at 972. But if you really value what's going on, more from a Palestinian perspective, it's an excellent, excellent source and worthy of your donations. The article I'm referring to is, and it's an in-depth one, "Expel All Palestinians from Gaza Recommends Israeli Government Ministry," subtitled "An Intelligence Ministry Document Revealed by Local Call and 972 Shows How the Idea of Population Transfer to the Sinai is Reaching Official Discussions." Even if the carnage stopped right this moment, Gazans, 85% right now, have been internally displaced. That's like practically 2 million out of the 2.3 million. They would have no homes to return to. Literally, whole neighborhoods have been erased. And civilian infrastructure has been completely obliterated. There are no basic services. There's a severe lack of food, lack of drinkable water, lack of medicine, lack of fuel and electricity. All of Gaza's hospitals are crippled due to being bombed, severe overcrowding, and lack of fuel and medicine. And in the Gaza Corner newsletter that I wrote earlier today, and again, you can have a copy by just emailing tangentsradio@gmail.com, I detail how schools and mosques, we've already spoken about churches, and shelters, and refugee camps, and bakeries, and farms are being targeted. You know, there's the common refrain, well, what do you expect? Behind every civilian in Gaza is a Hamas fighter. They use them as human shields. This gets circulated big time by Israel and fed into the Western mainstream media. I link to a piece that is very well written. It's called "The Human Shield Fallacy" by Jonathan Kutab. If you're interested about delving into this whole notion of human shields, read that article. But be that as it may, I mean, it's such a densely populated place, the most densely populated in the world. Where can Hamas go? But it's important to note that international law makes clear that even if an armed force is improperly using civilian objects to shield itself, its opponent is still required to protect civilians from disproportionate harm. Proportionality has never been part of the DNA of Israelis, not in 1947 and not in 2023 into 2024. Israel has a long history of providing, quote-unquote, evidence to justify atrocities. The U.S. government swallows it like a pill. The Western mainstream media does as well, initially anyway. But it's been proven time and again that the evidence is either fabricated or just plain flawed. We found that out with the killing of Palestinian-American correspondent Shireen Abu Akleh. And now, in the aftermath of Israel's storming of the Al-Shifa hospital, it was the most important and largest referral hospital in Gaza, no more. But it was until the November 15th assault. Just recently, the World Health Organization participated in a joint UN mission to Al-Shifa and described the scene that they saw. Quote, "The operating theaters and other major services remain non-functional due to lack of fuel, oxygen, specialized medical staff, and supplies. The hospital is only able to provide basic trauma stabilization, has no blood for transfusion, and hardly any staff to care for the constant flow of patients. The team described the emergency department as a quote-unquote bloodbath, with hundreds of injured patients inside and new patients arriving every minute. The staff of the World Health Organization that was there said that the emergency department is so full that care must be exercised to not step on patients on the floor." A few days later, Reuters reported that the World Health Organization said northern Gaza has been left without a functional hospital due to a lack of fuel, staff, and supplies. Only 9 out of 36 health facilities were partially functional in the whole of Gaza, and all these facilities are concentrated in the south. And Israel justified the Al-Shifa raid by claiming that underneath the hospital were underground tunnels used by Hamas as a military base, and that the tunnels could be accessed from inside the hospital. Biden swallowed this, but subsequent independent investigations have cast doubt. And the Washington Post, which to its credit did a very big investigation on the murder of Shireen Abu Akleh and debunked the Israeli assertion that the killing did not, that they were not involved with the killing, has done it now with Al-Shifa. And the article is "The Case of Al-Shifa, Investigating the Assault on Gaza's Largest Hospital." I'll read from the article. Quote, "The evidence presented by the Israeli government falls short of showing that Hamas had been using the hospital as a command and control center." It has three bullet points. The rooms connected to the tunnel network discovered by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, showed no immediate evidence of military use by Hamas. None of the 5 hospital buildings identified by the IDF spokesperson Hagari appeared to be connected to the tunnel network. There is no evidence that the tunnels could be accessed from inside hospital wards. Meanwhile, this is how the Biden administration describes what they believe. Quote, "We are absolutely confident in the intelligence that Hamas was using it as a command and control node," a senior administration official told the Washington Post, speaking on condition of anonymity. "The U.S. government has not made any of the declassified material public. It's declassified but not made public. And the official would not share the intelligence this assessment was based on." Quote, "The IDF has published extensive, irrefutable evidence that points to the abuse of the Shifa hospital complex by Hamas for terrorism purposes and underground terrorism activity." Those are the words, of course, of the IDF. When asked by the Washington Post to this IDF spokesperson if more evidence from Al-Shifa would be forthcoming, the spokesperson said, quote, "We cannot provide additional information." So this is textbook Israeli hasbara, which is the Hebrew word for propaganda or lies. Make the most clear-cut, assertive, meticulous claims, but keep the so-called evidence secret. You can read more by Jeremy Scahill of The Intercept. The article headline, "Al-Shifa Hospital, Hamas's Tunnels, and Israeli Propaganda," subtitled, "As Israel Wages Its Propaganda War Over Al-Shifa, it is simultaneously laying siege to yet another medical facility. And the last one I'll mention is that Israel doesn't just fight a war on the front of bombardment and hasbara, or propaganda. I mean, those are two pillars of what it uses. But in this case, it's using starvation as a weapon of war, intentionally using starvation, blowing up bakeries, targeting farms, not allowing just a trickle, allowing just a trickle of aid in. Before October 7th, 500 trucks a day were getting in. A fraction of that is being allowed. Human Rights Watch put out a report on December 18th, Israel: starvation used as weapon of war in Gaza. Evidence indicates civilians deliberately denied access to food, water. And the report starts by stating the Israeli government is using starvation of civilians as a method of warfare on the Gaza Strip, which is a war crime. Israeli officials have made public statements expressing their aim to deprive civilians in Gaza of food, water, and fuel, statements reflected in Israeli forces' military operations. And the last thing I'll mention is that the World Health Organization and UNICEF have warned that disease could become a bigger killer than bombs in Gaza. Take a listen to UNICEF spokesperson James Elder. This is from an interview with the BBC on December the 14th.
The extraordinary thing with Gaza, Faisal, is that it literally gets worse every day. So today is probably the worst day we have seen in the 2+ months, simply because today is the day we have feared the most, which is heavy, heavy rains. So hundreds of thousands of people who don't have a place to be, who don't have a toilet, who don't have clean water, have now got disease flooding through. And we're seeing it. We're seeing more than 100,000 children now have diarrhea. These will kill kids. And this is what we've warned about, and consistently Israel has spoken about safe zones with no intent whatsoever to create a safe zone of sanitation and clean water, and now we're seeing that pan out with, as they mentioned, another couple of hundred bombardments today. So today is a sign of what's going to come, which is hell for kids. The warning always was from doctors and from UNICEF that we will start to see a similar number of deaths from disease as from bombardments, and that perfect storm of no sanitation, no clean water, hundreds of thousands of people packed together. We're in that storm now. Two of those dangerous narratives which were sold, one is that we will not see the level of merciless bombardment in the south as we saw in the north. That's absolutely been proven to be incorrect, and we've seen every bit the severity of people have borne the bombardments in the south. And the other was that we'll have safe zones. Safe zones legally and morally mean water, sanitation and protection, not just free from bombardment. There is none of that, and there's been no inclination to even try to create that.
The words of James Elder of UNICEF on December the 14th in an interview with the BBC. From the Washington Post, quote, "Severe overcrowding is leading to outbreaks of disease and infection, hepatitis, skin and respiratory illnesses, as people share tight spaces and resources. It's made all the worse by the collapsed medical system incapable of treating them." I'll end Gaza Corner by reminding you that this is just a portion, this Gaza Corner, of a newsletter that went out earlier tonight. If you'd like to get the newsletter on an ongoing basis, or the one that I just sent out, shoot me an email at tangentsradio@gmail.com, tangentsradio@gmail.com.